Good morning, everyone.
What a great day. A great day to be together, to worship God and to sing praises to Him. It's great to enter His courts with thanksgiving. That's great. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we can only call you Father because we are your sons and daughters. Make that very real for us today. Help us to sit at your feet and hear what you have to say for us. Help us not to be distracted by the words that I might say, but Lord, that our spirit and our hearts may be open to what you have to say as we come to your word. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're away quite often, and we're travelling down to Sydney after the service is finished today to look after my mother. My sister has to go into hospital for a procedure, so we need to be down there. Mum's in full care at home. She went into hospital last year, and before that, she was able to walk at least from her bedroom to the dining room or to the toilet. But after she'd been in hospital for a few weeks, she lost the use of her legs because she didn't get out of bed at all. And so, yeah, so it's been a journey. Having Mum who's bedridden at home, now you might ask why. Well, it's because my sister promised her that she would look after her and that she would be able to die in her own home. And my eldest sister has been faithful to that. But one of the things that when we're away, we notice a few things when we come back, a few changes. One of the changes that I love is I came back to see families doing the offering together. The young ones involved in that, the kids. I just love seeing that. Because church needs to be about family. It needs to be about, well, it's not just the adults. And when our kids get used to taking up the offering, doing other things together with their family, like family who serve coffee in the kitchen together. Love that. It starts to take away the inhibitions that we have, the worries that we have, the anxieties that we have of doing something because we've done it. Somebody's walked with us. Our mum and dad sometimes walk through it. And that. It's great to see young people involved in the music. Sometimes the first time's a little bit terrifying. But it's okay. We're all with you. We don't mind if you make mistakes. We don't mind if there's something that you do different. We just love you doing that. Young people are so important. And you know, young people at a very young age have been very important in the Bible. God just doesn't talk to adults. He talks to young people. Even young children. And sometimes we might dismiss that. But if you're like Mary, you might just hold those in your heart and treasure them when you hear something from them. we've had a look at Godspeed, and if we go to the first slide, I suppose, and we'll see how we go. Having to prepare for a sermon, I go all over the place. I think, I don't know how many sermons I've preached to myself over the last couple of weeks, but it's that way. So then I've got to pull it all together and sort of, I've got to keep looking at the time. Particularly when you look at the video of Godspeed and you sort of see that Matt was told when he preached a sermon and his supervisor sort of said, yeah, but it could have been better, 10 minutes shorter. And then he told him, don't use your notes, just talk from your experience and what you have on your heart, what you've learned as you've walked about the community. Well, that's fairly challenging for some of us because some of us are sort of stuck to notes. And if we don't stick to the notes, we go all over the place, as I sometimes do. On the first study, we looked at place. Where are you? And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Now, God knew exactly where they were. But he called out to them. And I find that amazing, that even when they were hiding, he still chose to call out. And sometimes we are in hiding. But even in hiding, God can call out to us. That's amazing, isn't it? The love of God, that even when we're trying to hide from him, when we're trying to run away from him, he's still there. He knows us. He knows exactly where we are. They heard the presence of God. I find that interesting. They heard the presence of God. Him walking in the garden. Have you heard the presence of God? That makes me wonder. Sometimes people are like that. Some people can share with you that they just felt, you know, God's presence in a particular place. Whether it was in the wind or whether it was just in the atmosphere. Right from the beginning, they heard. We need to be aware of God working in our lives, wherever we are. And where are you? Well, if you live in Warwick, you're right here. You could tell me what street, what number, or wherever it is that you live. But the question of place is, do you really live in Warwick? Do people know you? A few years ago, we had a map of Warwick and its surroundings, and some of us had to go and put the pin in the map where we lived. And then later on, we had to go and put a pin into the places that were our sphere of influence, the places we work, the places where we touch other people, where we're in contact with people. And looking at that, so where are you? When we were on the mission field in Papua New Guinea, home wasn't back at Karajong in New South Wales or Glossodia, where we'd lived before, no. Home was where we were. And Esther made sure that home was home. That was where we lived. We didn't live anywhere else. And so wherever you live, make it your home. Make it where you're comfortable. and make it where you are surrounded with people and you're connected. Sometimes we can live in a place and yet be very lonely. If you're like Owie and myself and others who have lived in small communities because we've been teachers, you know what it's like to be in a small community and be known. When we were in Yau, we went there because God called us to be there, and we thought for a couple of years, and we ended up being there 16 years. That's the longest we'd been in one place, or at least for Esther anyway. And you got to know. I'm a little bit like on the thing of the small village that Matt lived in. Somebody there could look at the map and tell you exactly who lived in each place. And I could do that, yeah. I could take the map and I could tell you where everybody lived. I'd just about been in everybody's home because it was one of those communities where as you walk down, and we walked, didn't drive, it was only a small community, we walked, and we got to know people. You'd go to walk past someone's place and they'd say, "Hey, Eric, come in and have a cuppa." So there went part of the hours of the day. Yeah, but it was community. It was knowing people. And sometimes when we get into a bigger town like Warwick, we don't really take time to get to know people. Some people don't even know who their neighbours are. The shutters are up and there's no communication. But just because we live in a big town doesn't mean that you say, well, okay, it's not the same as a little town. No. Break it up into small parts. Get to be known by your own family, yes, that's important, that's a priority. Get to be known by those people that you work with, by the people that you spend time with. But also maybe break it up and say, get to know your neighbours. Just take your own street. Maybe shorten your street if it's a long one. Take time to walk. Now there's a fair few in Warwick who walk. We chose to walk a lot because that way you get to see things, you get to meet people. And so it's that slowing down. Instead of getting in the car to drive to the shops, we often chose to walk. It doesn't really take that long. And you get to meet people, you get to say hi. Sometimes that's just all you get to do. But there are those occasions where somebody actually stops to talk to you. And it gives you the opportunity to be known. So make the most of where you are. Be aware of where you are. And then be present. The second one was present. Present with God, present with people was the topic of the second study. And I suppose in that sense, there's the importance of being present with God first. When Esther went and spent quite a few months in Africa with Heidi Baker, her simple saying was stop for the one. That is, stop for God, and then you can stop for the one. You don't have to stop for a lot of people, just stop for the one, you know? And I think we need to stop. We need to hear God. So how do you hear God? Do you just read your Bible? You know, some people say, okay, I've got to have my devotion and I'll race through a couple of chapters of the Bible. And then you forget about it. Reading God's word is one of the ways of getting to know God, isn't it? And he can speak to you through his word, but sometimes we need to just break it up into a verse or so. And some of these studies that we're looking at have only just got one verse. And the whole thing is read it, and then read it, and then read it again. When I was a young person, I went to a camp and it made an impact for me because we had to take a verse of scripture and we had to go away. We had to read it and read it and read it. Then we were sent away without that verse and we had to write it in our own words. What does it actually say to us? And that's a good exercise of being able to do that, to get to know what God is saying. But God also speaks to people in different ways, doesn't he? So how does God speak to you? How does God speak to you? Is it just through the Bible or is there other ways? If we look at the Bible, we have Abraham, who was another person who said, "Here I am." And what, who was it? It was an angel from heaven. Abraham said, "Here I am." And God said, "I want you to take your son, your only son, the son that you dearly love, and I want you to take him as an offering to me." Wow. And then a few verses later, he hears God again. And God says, "Stop. Don't lay a hand on him. I know that you love me. I know that you're obedient to me." Isn't it good that Abraham didn't stop listening to God in between those two verses? And sometimes we need to be listening acutely, because sometimes God says one thing to us at a time to see how we're going, and then he sort of says, "Hey, I want you to change direction." Paul had that trouble on his missionary journeys, didn't he? He wanted to go this way. He thought God was one, and God would say, "No, change your direction." And so we need to be aware that we are speaking to God and listening to him. Listening is incredibly important. Communication is important. Now I might say to Owie, where did we hear that word communication? Amir, last year, had four words that came to him from God. I said, communication is the first word. How important it is for us as a church to communicate. How important it is for us to allow God to communicate to us and to share that with others. Jacob had a dream. Some people get dreams and God speaks to them through the dream. I got woken up a couple of weeks ago with a vivid one, and it basically just said, God was saying to me, "Stop being that busy, you haven't got time for me." I sort of say, "Yeah, you're doing things just to occupy time." I go, "Wow, okay, you've done that to me before." I remember at Yower, we were there, and I actually learned how to cut opal. And I was flat chat cutting opal for people and things like that. But most people came in to talk, and so I was working hard at night as well. And then God just sort of said to me, "You know, if the Lord doesn't build the house, they labour in vain." And I'm going, "Oh, okay, Lord." God speaks to us in different ways, and we need to take note of that. Jacob had a dream because he was going through a really tough time because Laban had cheated him. The cheater had become the cheated one. And so God told him, "I know what you're going through," and told him what to do. And then later on, when he'd lost Joseph, his dear son, coat of many colours, and thought that he was dead, and then the brothers come back from Egypt the first time and say, "He wants you to come send the youngest brother down," and Jacob was frightened. He was filled with fear. But then God again came to him and said, "Do not be afraid. Go down to Egypt. Go down to Egypt." And so he did. Moses. What about Moses? How was he called? Moses, Moses. But first of all, he had to turn aside for a miracle, the miraculous, a bush burning, and it wasn't burnt. And sometimes God can call to you because you see the miraculous. You see something happen that you just don't understand. And God can call you at that time. And last week we heard about, as Sam shared with us, about how holy God is. The vision that Isaiah had. He had a vision of the holiness of God. And Isaiah's response was, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live with a people of unclean lips." And then in that vision, the angel took a coal, a burning white hot coal, and put it on his lips. And your lips have been made clean. You are forgiven. And Isaiah's response was, "Here am I. Send me." He didn't even know what he was being sent for, but because he had that freedom, he was set free. He was willing to do whatever God wanted. He was obedient to him. He said, "I'll do it." And then God revealed to him the hard task that was ahead, that there would be people who would not listen, they would be stubborn of heart, they would do all sorts of things. But he had the word of God to share. We need to be aware of the holiness of God. He is a holy God and he wants us to be holy. And the only way we can be holy is if we take on the holiness of Christ. And that's part of the preparation of being in your community, being right with God, being set right, being free. If the Son sets you are free indeed. So what about pace? I've taken so much time already. Where God's taken me in those things. And I want to go to Romans 12:2 because we live in the world and there's pressure of the world. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Be not conformed to this world. Wow. This week, the last couple of weeks, what have we seen? People conforming to this world. Fear. Grabbing up the toilet papers. Yes. Grabbing up this. Grabbing up that. Before that, all the young ones anxious about the environment. Anxiety. I've got granddaughters who have become so anxious. They've, all of a sudden, having to go and have time with the psychologists and the counsellors because they're so filled with fear. I shared a thing on Facebook that somebody else had put on. And how do you deal with fear? And it was a picture of the guy just switching off the TV. We have to have some sort of discernment, don't we, about what we listen to and that. We need to be listening to God, not to the world. The world will tell you to hurry up. Do all these things. I know as a principal, every time we thought we'd got things done, regional head office would send us another email and said us to do something else. It was the systemic sort of stuff that always was on the things. You just thought you'd have a time to be able to have a break and boom. No, it was there. And then we went to a principal's conference and the director basically said, you said you could do the job, and if you can't do the job, get out of it. Oh, ouch. The pressure that is on us to perform, the pressure in a lot of our jobs. It's about performance. Increasing your performance. Increasing our gross domestic product. We've always got to have that. We've got to increase our standard of living. We've got to, you know, we hear that all over. We have to increase the standard of our houses, the standard of our cars. You know, when I was growing up, my first car I bought myself. I was 16 and I bought it. I got it before I even had the license. And it took me 3 times to get a license. But a lady at church had an old car and I bought it for $50. That's not bad. But today, it's just about frowned on to buy an old car because it hasn't got all the safety features. We've got to keep our children safe. We've got to do everything we can to protect them. And sometimes our children are so protected. We take so much time. I've got a daughter who's got 4 young children. And she is flat chat. Now, we had 3 children very close together. My daughter's got 4 very close together. But it's, what's the weekend look like? Yeah. Off to dancing, off to sports, off to this, off to that, off to the birthday party, off to that, off to... Wow. And last time I spoke to her, she sort of said to me, you know, Dad, we've had to start saying no. Because I'm just getting worn out. Bible says, let your yes be a yes and your no a no. Okay, it's okay to say no, to slow down. Sometimes you got so many jobs on the line. You're flat chat, you can't stop because all these jobs that you have to do, you have to have them done by a certain time. Is that really what you're there for? To work, to get home, flop down, say hi, have a bit of a meal and get to sleep. We do that for our families, don't we? We convince ourselves we're doing it all for other things, but God wants us to slow down, to see what is important. We can spend so much time on the things that are not important. Ruth Haley Barton puts up in her invitation to solitude and silence these things of hurry sickness. Have a look at them. Can you identify with some of those? Can you pick one that sort of say, yeah, okay, all right, that's me because I'm too much in a hurry. Now, it doesn't mean that we're all the same speed. As Jason wrote in The Intentional, he sort of said, I'm a workaholic. But it's not a work. It's, we can all go at different speeds. You try walking with some people and they're walking so fast you can't keep up with them. And they're okay with that. And we need to be all right with people doing things differently to us. We're all wired in different ways. We all have our different abilities. We are a diverse people. And so we are different. And we don't need to compare ourselves with somebody else. It's what God wants for you that's important. It's listening to God. And it's taking those steps that He tells you to take to slow down and to walk with Him. Pace. The pace of being known, God's speed, is neither fast nor slow. It is a speed of love. God's love. He sent His Son as a baby who had to grow up as a child. He didn't start His ministry until He was 30. Love sometimes takes time, doesn't it? And God, right through the history of the people of Israel, you look 400 years in slavery, 40 years in the wilderness, and you can go on with all the prophets and the kings and everything like that. God achieves His purpose in His time. Because He wants to be known. And we need to have the pace of being known. How well do you know me? Well, some of you don't really know me at all. There's a few things you could say about me, but that's about it. You don't really know me. Why? Because you really haven't spent time with me. And that's okay, because we can only know a certain number of people, isn't it, to really know them. Even our own children, do we really know them? Sometimes it takes a while to really get to know them. And sometimes it takes time to get to know your neighbours. It's nice when you've got good neighbours. It's a little bit harder when you haven't got good neighbours, isn't it? It's a difficult road to go through. Psalm 46:10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." It's the cease striving, but know that I am God. If you know God, you know that He's in control, or He's in charge, whichever way you like to put it. He's got His purposes, and He will achieve those in the end. The things He has promised will come to be. Second Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." He's patient. Love looks like something. Was the other little phrase that come from Heidi. Stop for the one, so you can stop for the one. But love has to look like something. And her other thing was, go low, go slow. Simple little phrases, but it reminds us about pace. Being in the right relationship with God and taking it slowly. And love looks like something. And if you look at the words that describe love, you'll find some of the descriptions there. Love is patient, love is kind, and so on. Get to know people and get to be known. Be still and know that I am God. Surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. When we stop our hurry, when we stop trying to achieve things, we actually see that God will work for us. And if it's His will, it will come to be. Do not strive. It's also a mutual process. That means we work together. We're diverse, but we work together. One of the other words that Amir had was unity. We're diverse, but we can be in unity. We can have different opinions. We can do things differently. But we can accept others, accept one another. We can honour one another, even if we think differently. One of the things I hate in this modern world of technology is the amount of hate speech that is between churches and between people in, who call themselves Christians, and yet putting down other brothers and sisters in Christ so much because they differ in their theology or they differ in their opinions or they've done that or another thing. I mean, all those men of God in the Bible, you could pick up a lot of mud on them, couldn't you, and throw it at them. But they were men of God. The In Spite Of series that we did, isn't it? Sometimes we're so focused on the things that people do wrong that we don't look at what God is doing through them. We need to have unity. We need to be in a mutual process, spending time together, enjoying each other's company, watching, talking, taking time to listen and speak. We need to communicate. And you know, when we start to communicate in real terms, one of the other things is that when there's dysfunction or when we have problems with people is when we get to really know them, we end up finding that we can restore relationships. Because we're not listening to what somebody else has said about the person. We're not listening to the gossip. We're not listening about all the things that they've done wrong, but we're listening to them and finding out what their heart is really like. Because that's what God looks at. He looks at our heart. And sometimes we come to a point in even space where we have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have really done the wrong thing by my brother or sister. I need to know them better. And I need to restore that relationship. And restoration was another word that Amir had. Because if we communicate and communicate effectively, restoration will take place. And it takes time. You can't do it just by giving somebody a hug and saying sorry. Sometimes that works, but sometimes it's a process of really getting to know people. I want to finish off with just a few verses. A verse that was in the study, Jeremiah 5:16. This is what the Lord says, "Stand at the crossroads and look." Take time to look. Don't be in a hurry. Stand still for a while and look. Even in Isaiah 6, as Sam shared with us, of the glory of God's holiness, and then the end of it, it sort of says, and the whole earth is filled with His glory. God's awesomeness, God's power, God's might. When we really start to understand God, when we do that, we can see it in His creation. Not just how lovely it is, but sometimes the incredible power there is there. The incredibleness of God. And when, you know, I love it when the scientists can dig deep into things that we don't know and understand and yet find out these intricate details. And it's like, wow. For them, isn't God so great that He's actually done this? Something we never knew before, now I understand. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Your souls. Your mind will be at ease. The anxiety, all of that that comes to you. Put your life in God's hands. And I found those similar words of you will find rest for your souls in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Who's going to give you rest? I will give you rest. You might take steps to slow yourself down, but if you want real rest, then you need to rest in Jesus, because he is the one who will give you the rest. Take my yoke upon you. Be linked with Jesus. Walk with him each step of the way. Learn from me. We need to learn from Jesus. I am gentle and humble in heart. Hey, he's going to take it easy on you. Why? Because he wants you to come to repentance, and he wants you to be who he intends you to be as his son or daughter of God. And then Revelation 3:20, that fabulous verse to the church. And Jesus said, here am I. Is that word again, here am I. And Jesus says, here am I. In the NIV version, here I am, or behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's there waiting for us to open the door. And the beautiful thing about it is that if we open the door, he will come in and he'll eat with us. It's not just a simple hello, goodbye, is it? No, it's the meal. And sometimes when we think about getting to know somebody incredibly well, it's time to have a meal together, isn't it? To really get to know people, to have time, spend time together. And may I encourage you to slow down to God's speed. First of all, to take time to listen to him so that he will direct your paths. Take time with him so that you can take time with others. So that you know God, because he knows you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows us that well. Even the ones that fell out this morning when we were combing the hair. Yeah, all right. I don't know why, but anyway. It's a funny one there. Yeah. But I love that he's intimately involved, because God's space is about intimacy. He wants to know us. And if he wants to know us, we need to be wanting to know him. And the way that we can know him is to ask him to come into our life, to open the door. Jesus, I want you to be part of my life. I want to walk with you each step of the way. Are you willing to walk with him? To know him? And to know those around about you? Take time to really get to know them. You might not even share the Bible with them. You might not even share too much about them initially, but you might just want to know them as friends. Just get to know them. God will take care of the rest. I've got a friend in Yau, and I helped. He's an older fellow, and I can't help myself. I help others. So, you know, I rescue them a little bit. But anyway, too old to do some of the hard labour, so I'll go and do it. Now I'm getting to the age where it's a bit harder. He said, "I'm an atheist." Okay. At least I know where you're at. But like all atheists, often quite interested in talking about God. And then later on, a year or so later, he comes to me and he sort of said, "Eric, I've been thinking. I think I'll title myself a Christian atheist." I said, "Why is that?" He says, "Well, I love all the old, Ten Commandments. I think our Western culture is built on that, And he says, "I love all the moral standards and that's what I really like." And so he says, "I live by that. But I don't believe in God yet." And sometimes we can just be about changing our behaviour, living by the moral codes. But that's not what God's about. God's about relationship. He wants to have a relationship with you that's on a daily basis. When he wants to speak with you, that you hear his voice, that he guides you and directs you each step of the way. He's always waiting there. Even if you're a Christian and you're hiding, he can speak to you there. He's standing at the door and he knocks. Your choice. Open it, and if you do, wow, a whole change of life takes place. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you speak to us. And sometimes you've said something quite different to each one of us. It's what we actually need. So, Father, we might go away from this place not really remembering anything that was said too much. But help us to remember what you said to us. What was the one thing that you burned on our hearts? And may we together just worship you and praise you for being such an awesome God, that you do things slowly so often because you are waiting for us. You want us to respond, and we just say thank you for being such an awesome God, that even in your holiness and greatness, you stoop down and touch us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.